right, it's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight as the Colts get a victory, do so on the road, but that doesn't mean there's not drama going on around the team. So we'll talk a little bit about that before too long as we lead you up to Monday Night Football with Detroit at Green Bay tonight. That's 7:45. They will take over, and we're with you until then. IU basketball with Archie Miller. They have their second exhibition against the University of Indianapolis over the weekend yesterday afternoon, and were victorious 74-53. So a little bit different than the first time around against Marion, and they've got their first regular season game coming up Friday night at home against Indiana State. So we got that game to talk about here in a little while, but we start with Indiana football. They hosted their last truly daunting top 5, top 10 team, top 25 team, whatever it has ended up being. They have played a very difficult Big Ten schedule up till now, with 5 of the 6 teams being ranked and 3 of them being ranked very, very highly. And as you might expect, Hoosiers couldn't get the victory. They end up bowing in the fourth quarter. 45-17 was the final as Wisconsin pulled out I can't say pulled out the victory, but in the end, kind of just kept piling on points as the Hoosiers couldn't get the offense going in the second half and turned the ball over a few times. Eventually, the defense completely broke. A lot to talk about, though, with this game in particular. Again, 812-333-2665 is a phone number, and the last opportunity against one of the truly excellent teams on their schedule. The breakthrough has been the word of the year from Tom Allen, and depending on how you define that, this would be the last breakthrough attempt of the year for the Hoosiers against that level of team. Now they just have to break through and get a couple victories, and all the margin is gone as they have to win 3 straight, 2 on the road, to go bowling at this point in time. Not sure this game is any kind of harbinger for down the stretch. But it is, you know, it does end up turning out disappointing, because for a while there, the Hoosiers were playing with them. And, you know, Wisconsin isn't a team that's going to blow a lot of people out. And, you know, the score may look that way. They control the game, but they didn't absolutely annihilate the Hoosiers. And I guess there's something to be said for that. The Hoosiers managed to do that against good competition. Now they're going to have to do it 3 straight against teams that are in their wheelhouse.
And the toughest part of Indiana's schedule is obviously what's next. But the better part of it is, if you want to look a little long-term before we get into the guts of Wisconsin, I think this is right, and it's off the top of my head. I should be better than this. But the last 3 years, they've had to win their last 3 games to get to a bowl game.
I don't think it was all 3, but one of them they did, yes.
Well, I know it was last year.
Absolutely. And they had to go to Purdue a couple years ago.
The Sudfeld year, they did.
The first bowl game they did, because they had to go to Purdue also.
And they won that.
Uh-huh.
They were down 21-0 at Maryland, or 21-3 at Maryland.
That's
right.
Came
back and won that.
That's exactly
game.
Right. I think that was 2 they had to win that year.
Well, okay, so they had to win their last 2. And then last year, how many did they have to win in a row? Did they have to win their last 3 in a row last year?
I don't think it was, but I'll look it up here.
Okay, but whatever. They've had a little practice in this realm.
Unfortunately.
And some of the guys that have played, Nate Hoff, T. Gray Scales, et cetera, Fant, have been through this. So they know what it takes. Dutra have been around this block before, so it's not going to be a quote-unquote new experience for them. But Tom Allen lamented today and was asked, in the fourth quarter, we've seen this before, you've run out of gas a little bit. I guess Michigan would be the only example of the opposite when they came back. But Michigan State, Wisconsin, and Tom Allen just said, hey, look, T. Gray Scales and Chris Covington played every play.
Yeah, they didn't come out.
80 plays.
They didn't come out.
8-0. Said they couldn't get them a break because we don't have guys.
The other guys have not lived up to.
And they're hurt. Willis is hurt.
The couple backup linebackers have been playing a little bit here and there. They did not.
And they did not in this game, and they've been hurt. The defensive line has had plenty of rotation on it, which has been fine. But when those guys have to make those plays against what do linebackers do? Well, they fill the holes and stop the run, and that's not an easy thing to do. The Hoosiers in this game got off to the dream start. We said on Wednesday, get out, get Wisconsin, try to get them out of that run, try to make the quarterback, force him to make some plays. And Indiana leads 7-0 after a great red zone. Hey, the defense, can you hold to a field goal? Can you make a play in the red zone to get something besides a touchdown? Mm-hmm. Scales made a great interception.
Yeah, that was a fantastic play.
That was one of the best interceptions you'll see from a linebacker in your life. So they had so much momentum going. And then the fumble play with Ellison with the whistles and pointing to the ground, it just – It was Indiana football.
Well, and the problem you mentioned there is that it's Indiana football, and unfortunately, too often something derails a good thing as it's going. You can never in any game, but certainly in the game of football, you can't count on the first 10 minutes worth of play end up being your result. You've got to play the full 60 minutes. We all know that. Wisconsin style is such that it is going to wear you out after a while. So, 10-0 is exactly the way you want it to go, but you can't count on that being 10-0 until the end of the game at that point in time.
And the other thing that just jumped off the page that you thought it just might be the Hoosiers' day, first play from scrimmage, Taylor goes 45 yards.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they're just putting it on you. They run 7 runs in a row down to the 3. And their first pass of the game is intercepted.
Yeah, I mean, that's why the depth thing, I understand that they're not stacked in their back 7 right this minute, but yeah. It runs a little hollow today when you got ran all over easy early on, and it was. I mean, there was some other things. You stood up to a couple of those, but not able to handle the physical run early, as you mentioned.
And they make a play, and they get out of it, and then the offense goes down, and boom, cashes.
Yeah,
cashes a check, and you think, okay, off to a flying start. But that wasn't the case, because as you mentioned accurately, you have to play all 60 minutes against every team, not some of the teams, all really good teams, all teams you have to play 60.
You asked the question last year. They had to win their home game against Purdue in the bucket game to go bowling. The year before, they had to win their final two games at Maryland, at Purdue, both
so
of them
been
on
in
the road.
Plenty of elimination
to get
games,
to six
so to speak,
wins in both those seasons.
Before, so they'll find that again this season as well.
812-333-2665 is the phone number. Let's bring in Travis.
Hello, Travis. How are you today?
Hey, guys. And how are you guys doing?
Good, good. Always good to talk to you. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Well, I just say really pretty much minus the Maryland game, they're probably where they should be. Even with that, playing Maryland on the road, that would have been a tough win. But these last three are very winnable. And that's all I need. Just tell the guys, hey, we're playing to be 3-0.
Yeah, I agree. The math says that the 3-0 gets you to a bowl game, but the bad news is there can't be another quote unquote Maryland game
in
there.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Your margin is gone.
There is no oops.
You're right. And the good thing is it's kind of set up, at least the way I look at it, to where really we should beat Illinois and we should beat Rutgers. And I know you play they always say, well, that's why you play and all this, but we should win.
Yeah, Rutgers beat Maryland. Rutgers beat Purdue. You get into these transitive properties where, but I think the thing is, if you play week to week, which that's the only thing you can do, you cannot get bowl eligible against Illinois, but you have to beat Illinois.
Right.
So there is no lost focus here moving forward. There is no dreaming of breaking through. There is no ulterior motives now. It's simple. Chase Jutra said it best after the game. He said, I want guys in here that are going to bust it for the next 3 weeks. If you're not going to bust it, let's go. I know what it takes to get here. Hey, you know what? That's fine. Somebody's got to say that. And somebody's got to do that, because that's the reality of it. It can't be. Well, we're going to get it figured out here in a couple weeks. We're going to finally figure some things out. But what we haven't seen this Indiana football team do for 60 minutes in all three phases of the game is play solidly across all three of them. Has that been a schedule issue? No. You're always going to play in the Big Ten East. It's always going to be difficult.
And that one thing I'd like to see, and I don't know, I mean, obviously I'm not in the huddles and the meetings and such, but sometimes we don't have the depth. So
yes.
Sometimes our offense is hurting our defense. And when we start doing that quick, I understand sometimes you want to do that to maybe catch them off guard, but why not get up to the line and just sit up there for 15
they
seconds
have.
Or so?
They have. I've watched the games where they've done it. They got up to the line, and they've and Peyton Ramsey look at the sideline for 20 seconds. And
they don't go nearly as fast most of the time now that they did earlier in the season, first of all, with Peyton Ramsey, but also a couple years ago with Kevin Wilson. Last year they began to slow down the pace pretty frequently, and I don't know if that's a protecting the defense thing, but I know for a fact they were slower with it last year, and they made more decisions about doing things like punting in some spots rather than going for it, whereas in the past
they
didn't.
And the other angle is when you have a team on the ropes and you go quickly, if you don't substitute as an offense,
they don't get the benefit of
stopping play until the substitution is completed.
Yeah.
So if you just break off a 15-yard run and the defensive tackles and everybody else are dragging to get back to the line of scrimmage, if you want to hurry up, you're trying to take advantage of where you're going. They don't know where you're going.
They
on the other
frequently
side.
Go on first down after they make first down.
So they can't get new personnel on the field to adjust.
I just think our guys are, because our defense, we just don't have any, it's our first level guys and that's it. So,
yeah, Tom Allen has mentioned exactly that. He said we are paper thin. They had to play guys on the final drive in that game with Alex Rodriguez running the football with their five starting offensive linemen because they don't have anybody else to play right now. That's
look,
part of it.
I yes. It,
that's what happened.
This is not new to Tom Allen's Indiana. So let's go play out there and get your guys out there. And you know what? In this case, you know what, Travis? You're right. Talk to the offensive guys. You're the head coach now. Say, hey, yo, let's try to run a lot fewer plays over the entire course of the game. You're in charge. You can say that. I get why you use it from time to time. But, yeah, maybe now is the time. You know, if you're going to keep talking about depth, then do something like that about it because you can't just suddenly become deep.
And the other issue from the game on Saturday when Ellison did fumble, it took him a while to get back in the game if he ever came back in at all.
I don't know that
he did. You know,
that's the problem. The problem was Ellison was getting yards against Wisconsin.
Yeah.
He had 6 for 24 at some point. I mean, that's something. But when you take him out, then you have nobody to run between the tackles. And so that's so you have to punish. Mm-hmm. If that's your rule. Your rule is you fumble, you come out of the game.
Jonathan Taylor did.
And he came out for a little bit, then came back and ran for 189 yards. So that's my point. They go back to him and do that. Ellison's out of the game, and now it's Devontae Williams. Now it's Ricky Brookins, who plays hard and runs hard. Guest was out.
Had a couple.
Guest did not play.
He did not. Okay.
He did not
play
in the
game. I knew he didn't have much.
So that's the point. The point was now you've limited that. So do you have to go faster because you can't just line up and run it against him? So there's this in-game balance that goes on with that as well. Travis, we got to hit a break. Good job as always. He's always paying attention.
Thanks for the phone call. Look, in the first quarter, the Hoosiers had the ball for 8.5 minutes.
They did.
Wisconsin had it for 6.5 minutes. From that point forward, the Hoosiers finished with
20 minutes of time.
20 and a half minutes. So they had 12 minutes of possession time in the last 45 minutes.
I think they
minutes.
Had 4 minutes in the third quarter, four of the 15 in the third quarter.
That was not only because Indiana went fast. That's because they did not pick up third downs. That's because their defense didn't get off the field. That's because the Wisconsin running game did what Michigan did in a lot of cases, put extra large bodies in there and leaned on them all day long. The weakness of the Indiana defense is exposed as a big smash-mouth-type running game. Not a lot of teams nowadays run that.
But the time of
but
possession
the ones that do
stats.
have had those stats in their favor.
And Tom Allen today lamented, you know, balls on the ground in a one-touchdown game.
Get it.
You don't.
Yeah, I mean,
their tackle gets it and finds a way to it. And Scales interception. That's the third one of the season. How many games? Nine.
I mean, that's all he did last year was
take the ball
take
away.
The ball away. I mean, it's amazing. That's at least early in the season.
That's the tough part. So when they've lamented the running game all year long, there has been one day where they've had a big. It was Morgan Ellison had 178 yards against one of the Southerns.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was. And that was their biggest running day of the year. And the other issue that hurt them in the second half was time of possession, because I'm almost positive in the third quarter it was 11-4 or 11:30 to 4:30.
They had 12 minutes
like
of possession in the last three quarters.
In the last three quarters,
that's 4 minutes of quarter.
That's it. Yeah, but the last of it was the last 4 minutes of the game was them trying to run with Rodriguez. So just put that in perspective. When the game's three touchdowns,
Morgan Ellison had 6 carries for 17 net.
Net, okay.
So nobody ran the ball because, again, it's an offensive line situation at this point in time. Both quarterbacks have played. You know, when you're not playing one of the Southerns, the running game has struggled.
That's true.
That's
what it is.
It's an upfront thing. They're young. I mean, they are young. Now, Wisconsin's young. They're young is just a hell of a lot more talented than ours right now, and that's the fact of the matter. Now, here's the other thing you could do. You could throw a couple tight ends in there and go more smash mouth. And
except,
talk about running and taking the clock off. There are things you can do, but what we continue to do is stay in three wide receivers and then throw a tight end in, and the tight end isn't the blocking tight end, so he goes out wide. I mean, that's what we do. So, I mean, if there are things you're lamenting as far as depth is concerned, as far as your running game is concerned, those sorts of things, first of all, don't turn the ball over. We'll talk about the fumble here in a minute because there's a lot to talk about there, but don't do it to begin with. Don't put it down. It stays in your hands at all point in time. But do other things with the offense to take pressure off the quarterback, to take pressure off the defense, those sorts of things. Let's see if they come up with that. They can win without having to have a dramatic change in their offense and defense the next 3 weeks. Against Wisconsin, maybe they would have had to, but that one's said and gone. You got three chances to win three games to go
have
bowling.
Have to win three games.
Yep, have to win them all. That starts noon on Saturday at Illinois. But we'll talk more IU football when we get back from the break. 812-333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone.
All right, welcome back. You're in the Zone. News Talk 96.1 AM 1370 and WGCLradio.com. Dave and Glass with you as we get things rolling here on a big Monday night. Remember, we'll take you up till 7:45. That's pregame for Green Bay and Detroit Monday night football. But don't forget, coming up Wednesday, we've got a special presentation for you. It's been 50 years since Indiana's remarkable Rose Bowl run, and WGCL is set to celebrate. Join Dave and me, Mark Deal, and a bunch of others at C3 in Renwick for the 50th anniversary Rose Bowl celebration. It's presented by the IU Credit Union. We'll run into stories, fables, facts, figures, the whole nine yards. Eric Stolberg, Jade Butcher, Ken Kazmarek, Harold Morrow, E.G. White, Bob Monahan, team captain Doug Cruzan, along with journalist Max Skirvin and Bob Hamill. You'll hear the stories, the insight, and the unforgettable memories from that Indiana improbable Rose Bowl run. Can you believe it's been 50 years? We'll have it all covered for you. Coming up Wednesday, 6 to 8. Notice, two-hour presentation there. The 50th Rose Bowl celebration presented by the IU Credit Union. And you can learn more at WGCLradio.com. 6:26 on a busy Monday night, talking Hoosier football, 812-333-2665. Indiana Falls. Geez, what was the final score there? I kind of forgot that one. 45-17. The final there. Indiana led 10-0, led 10-7, trailed 14-10. 17-10, 24-10, get back in it at 24-17. To see Richard Lego and Simi Cobbs hook up again, that was refreshing.
Yes.
And I think that's part of the offense that we saw Simi Cobbs catch a ball at Maryland on a 34-yard touchdown pass from Ramsey on the play there. He had double-digit catches in that game, but only had 5 catches in this game. Just goes to show you again, when you think something's going, the level of opponent really has an impact on what you can do in that defense Wisconsin brings. Jim Leonard knows what he's doing.
Well, people, IU fans have always started comparing their season to, you know, are they going to be able to get a big win? That's why this breakthrough thing is so sore for me in particular, because I hear it all the time. Hey, we got to win that game. We got to do that. Are we going to beat them this time? The Ohio State thing was a 3-month thing that we heard about. And so if you're comparing your season to that game, that team, and there's 5 of them on your schedule this year, you're going to fail, and you're going to punch yourself in the face a couple times over the entire situation. The fact of the matter is, down the stretch here against these 3 teams, and Maryland was one of these 4 teams, really, these are the ones that really define what Indiana is right now in the Big Ten, is these 4 games, because these are the teams you're evenly matched against. You might have a little bit better than Illinois right now, and you do, and you should win on the road, and it shouldn't be easy because Illinois's got a home game, and they're prideful, and they're young, and they've got some young talent, and they're more inexperienced than the Hoosiers even are. But these are the 3 games that really, you know, kind of compare you, and that's why the Maryland game is such a disappointment. Because that's a game that talent-wise you really match up with pretty well. Wisconsin has been winning the trenches in Big Ten football for 20 years now, since Barry Alvarez got there and really built that up. And that's not changing and hasn't changed, no matter who's been coaching it. And you saw it. I mean, you saw it on right out there. Richard Lego got rushed. They barely ran the ball, if at all. You know, if they put Peyton Ramsey out there and he was full strength, he wasn't going to run for 150 yards on that defense. It just wasn't going to happen. So your best bet was having Richard Lego out there, throw it around a little bit, see if you couldn't get some plays down the field. And they managed to get a few, pop a few early. They got to continue to find ways to do it. You know, the score of Devontae Williams to open it up was a brilliant play design.
Great call.
But you've got to come up with more than that. I mean, you've got to have more than just that during the course of a game to overcome the significant talent disparity that you have against teams like that. You know, you might be able to line up against Illinois, Rutgers, and Purdue and play, quote-unquote, your game like you do normally. But one of the reasons you look at down the line Purdue, why they're suddenly resurgent, is that Jeff Brohm isn't doing what, quote-unquote, they do. What they do now all of a sudden is all kinds of crazy crap, so you never have any idea what they're going to really do. That's what's making them interesting right now, is they keep people off balance with all the stuff they're trying to do
right,
every week.
Right, and there's no book to
it's hard to
go
get a beat
back
on
and
it, yeah.
look into all that. And exactly right. When you can't line up and beat a team physically, you sometimes have to go around them and con them and do some other things with that. And let's give Wilson some credit on that. He was notorious for pulling something out of his back pocket, front pocket, coat pocket, under his hat, under his shoe.
And sometimes it worked.
And sometimes in one quarter, all of that going in there. And there's a different way to get after it, a different way to do things. And lining up and getting after Wisconsin, I don't think you can point anywhere around in recent times where they said, well, that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Now, Penn State had to come back against them in the Big Ten Championship game, I believe it was, last year. It was a great come-from-behind deal.
Three touchdowns, so, I think.
It can happen. But what Indiana hasn't done and didn't do against Maryland carried over into this game. They get off to another really solid start. But 7-0 doesn't become 14-0. It becomes 10-0. Mm-hmm. That's good, but it's not great. Against Maryland, it was 14-0, correct? Then it was 14-7 after Maryland gets an interception, does that. 16-7 Indiana safety, block a punt, 16-14, and now you got a ball game on your hands. It was a little bit similar there. I think the more quote-unquote disappointing would be you didn't think – you gave Maryland a touchdown on the block punt because you didn't do your job. That was a that was a thing. And you gave –
there was so much wrong in special
Maryland,
teams.
An interception at your own 16-14 yard line where they one play later scored it on you. That's disappointing about that game.
That's why that's one of the reasons you can't just automatically chalk up the next three games as wins, because they did manage to go into a Maryland game and manage to take a 2-touchdown lead. And then by the end of the day, their offense, it wasn't perfect, but it put up 39 points. I know there was some help in there with the other units, but it was mostly theirs. The defense got moved all over, but it was a lot of short fields, and the special teams was a disaster. I mean, that's exactly, how you can lose a game to any of those teams. And Rutgers and Purdue right now are very easy losses for this Hoosier team if they don't play their best. And Illinois would be the worst of the bunch at this point. So, obviously you got to win all three. If you're jerking around with Illinois, you can probably chalk up the last two and go ahead and make other plans over the holidays because you're not going bowling if you can't get it done against Illinois. Obviously, on Saturday, the pivotal play for a lot of reasons, a lot of them unfortunate in a lot of ways, was the Morgan Ellison fumble. He gets hit on his way down. He does fumble the ball. Replay showed the ball is coming out. This has become a habit for Morgan Ellison, is fumbling the ball. That has not always resulted in a turnover. But when when you're a running back and you have a habit of the ball hitting the ground, you're not going to play a lot of running back. Just about anybody is going to say that. Now, when do you put him back in? Do you put him back in? Do you make him? I don't know. I don't know what you want to do on that, but you can't keep fumbling or you're not going to play a lot because you're going to keep getting hit. You're going to keep facing physical defenders. You're going to keep getting popped and you're going to get a lot of bodies around you. And if they know that you put the ball on the ground, they're going to go after the ball even more so. So the first thing you can't do is you can't continue to fumble the ball. Don't put it on the ground and you don't even have a chance for the referees to come up with something. And that's what they did. Somehow they managed to come up with this ruling. You first got whistles going all over the place, which ought to be a stoppage. Now, there might be a rule right now that says that's not the case. I'm going to give the officials at least a little bit of a benefit of the doubt that they know the rules better than I do that all IU fans do. So, okay. But then what you've got is you've got the ball bouncing all over the place, including a couple different Hoosiers running after it, until 6 seconds later it's eventually recovered by Wisconsin 10 yards backwards. How that entire sequence got viewed on replay as a clear, immediate recovery. Despite the whistles going also.
And the guy that runs down into the field, blowing his whistle, pointing down.
Absolutely no idea. Now, if you want to give it to him without a whistle, I can see that. Because it kept going and going and going, and they were still playing. But when you have a whistle, there was supposed to be some sort of immediate recovery.
When a guy runs in to point to the ground, he's just not pointing to it. He's blowing his whistle saying the play is down.
Now, replay has its rules where it can overrule that, obviously. But, it should at least be very quick, obvious recovery. And when that happens, that is usually one person sitting there with a ball on the ground diving on it. That's the rule
around.
That you've seen, kind of given here in the recent past. So that was not what ought to happen in that scenario. Maybe the rules say that when it's all said and done, that was the idea, but that's ridiculous, given that set of circumstances. Then the Hoosiers compounded that by getting a 15-yard penalty on themselves. I think it was actually half distance
half
the goal.
Half the distance, so it went from the 21 to the 10 and a half.
10 yards, still not very good. You've given them free yardage on top of the fact that you've given them the ball and the officials a chance to give them the ball. So you compounded that with a lack of composure. And then what happens is two plays later, it's a play-action pass, and you've lost your man because you've lost your composure. And they're in the end zone, and now they've got the lead. So a lot went wrong at that point in time. And the other problem you have that you continue to see throughout the history of Indiana, and unfortunately it's playing big this year, is this idea that everybody's out to get you. And so now every call that's made is somebody hunting for you. And it just starts piling on and piling on and piling on that you're not going to get any breaks even if you make the breaks. And that is the absolute worst attitude to have. The defense did its best, you know, to kind of overcome that. But then in the end, you know, physically, they just that kind of attitude is what just drives you down physically. And now you're catching blocks. You're straight. You know, you're getting straight armed without a whole heck of a lot of effort on the straight arm. Just everything starts to fall apart. Your tackling starts to fall apart. You stop losing or you start losing contain. You're not paying attention to your keys. And next thing you know, it's just easy for the Wisconsin offense to go up and down the field on you. And you know, that style is irritating as hell when you're in that attitude. I'm getting sick of hearing about how the referees are screwing this Indiana team. I'm getting sick of it because you go out there and you make the right plays and you can get through that kind of crap. But the more everybody hears we're getting screwed, we're getting screwed, we're getting screwed, the more the team starts to feel like they're getting screwed. And the mentality just weighs on you and weighs you down. And it's not the right way to go. And it's permeating right now. Every home game, I think, has had something, if not many things, go wrong. Heck, the Michigan game, every Indiana fan came out of that game going, we got hosed out of this game, when, in fact, Michigan got called for 16 penalties compared to our, like, four or five. That attitude has existed for too long around Indiana football. You know, maybe the wins in those circumstances will get rid of it, but it's got to stop soon.
The Hoosiers, again, facing short fields again for the second week in a row, again, and facing short fields. And that's been kind of a motif this season. Mm-hmm. The defense and the yards and everything else, well, the points are another story. And you put them in two tough positions. I guess the defense, that's not true. The defense put themselves in a tough position on that first drive, but bent and bowed up at the goal line and made a play. And they made one play to stop it, to put yourself in that margin of error department where it's first and 10 at the 10 and a half, you have to go in there and play essentially perfect again.
Yeah.
And they threw again, which really surprised me. They went right back to the end zone. So that's how much confidence they have in Hornibrook to throw.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened.
Because again, and Indiana commits to the run no matter who they play. So play action is perfect to beat them. And that's what you had early on.
And the Hoosiers trail 14-10 there, and the game's not over. That's the other part of it. Just because the other team scores and takes the lead doesn't mean the game's over. The game can't be over in that situation. So Indiana tries to fight back into the game and get back into it. And there's just not enough, whether it's Ellison being out of the game. So when you know Williams is in the game, what does Wisconsin do? If you have those two choices to worry about, okay, you're mad the guy's not fumbling's back in to rip it at him, and then you've got the scat back, and you've got to pay attention to that. So Indiana's game plan probably twists a little bit differently. And you just saw some of the reasons why Indiana hasn't been able to settle on a quarterback yet. There was times in that game Richard Lego was very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
There was more times than not when he had time to throw. Yep. He had time to step up into the pocket.
Yep.
He had time to even had a nice scramble for a big chunk of change as well. And he made some really good plays. And then there were some plays where there's guys twisting behind them trying to make catches and go off their fingertips a little bit
high. He's getting drilled and he throws an interception.
Well, I mean, that's part of it. And that's the margin of error you can't do when you don't cause turnovers on defense and get short fields for your offense, when you don't perhaps execute in the return game or the kick game or whatever it is to the level that you think is where it needs to be. And when your offense, again, I think it's limited in the sense that when the protection can't be there, you can't get routes down the field. And if you're not accurate enough on crossing routes, which is your bread and butter right now, that's when Indiana's going to struggle. Because those little 3, 4, 5, 6 yard crossing routes are your running plays, so to speak. So if you're going to be second and 10, third and 11, every offense usually struggles in those things.
Well, two of the turnovers, by the way, 812-333-2665 is our phone number. Two of the turnovers late in the game were a perfect example of the struggles of a young offensive line. On the first turnover, the first interception, you saw a six-man blitz look. Every team in America is doing this. Indiana does this all the time. You throw a bunch of bodies up near the line of scrimmage. Maybe a couple of them are in a three-point stance, and most of them are standing and faking as though they're going to blitz. And the whole question for the quarterback and the offensive line and the running back is who is coming and who's not coming, and how do we communicate and get this right? Because if you've got all the line and a running back, six guys, to block four or five guys, you've outnumbered them. You've got to make the block, then you've got to execute. Wisconsin drops two of those guys, so they're only actually rushing four guys, and it's the defensive tackle who runs around the other defensive tackle into a clear wide open hole. If Devontae Davis had that hole in a running game, he would have gained 15 yards, but instead completely unblocked. And drills Lego in the ribs as he's throwing the ball. And because of that, he is rushing the throw. At the very least, he can't step into the throw. Now, what should he do with that? Should he take a sack? Yes, possibly. Yeah, I mean, there's other decisions other than throwing the ball. So there is something on the quarterback here, no question. But it's the inability of the offensive line to get that communication right and protect the quarterback in that scenario that starts the problem. Same situation later. And on the other situation, I want to say it's a defensive end on one side that came all the way around the other defensive end on a loop and managed to get some pressure in there too.
Got to get rid of the ball.
You got to get rid of the ball at some point. You got to do it into a safer spot, which is hard when you're only rushing four and yet they're still getting pressure. Indiana is having trouble and has for 2 years getting a lot of pressure out of only four people. They've had to put some extra bodies up there and been very successful when they've done it. But other teams against Indiana don't have to do it. So they've got a lot of defenders in the back that you have to pick apart and pick in between. And that's hard to do over a long period of time.
Mike DeBoard mentioned today during man-to-man coverage, you can't be accurate. You have to be accurate. You don't have a choice.
Yeah.
You have to find the way that you're not thrown into holes like you are against the zone, or
right,
thrown into
right.
windows. You have to put the ball in the proper spot, and that's something they said they're going to work on. 14-10 at halftime, you know Wisconsin's getting the ball to start the second half. You've asked Indiana's defense to do things. You've asked them to get up and figure it out. It's 14-10, right?
Yep.
So first Wisconsin drive, you get an interception in the end zone.
Yep.
In there, you get a short field. You can't hold – they get 14. First drive out of the third quarter, you hold them to a field goal. 17-10, you're in the ball game.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like it
exactly,
at the time,
no.
But you're exactly in the
ball
game.
You're exactly right. It doesn't feel like it because they're winning the line of scrimmage both ways.
And how many plays was that drive? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12?
But you held them right there, and it's in a one-score game still despite all that.
It's a one-score game. And this goes back to your point that you were just making about how many guys you got to block and do everything else. At 17-10, it's first and 10, Indiana on their own 17-yard line. Lego is sacked for 9 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately, you're second and 19.
Yep.
First play of the half.
Totally kills.
First out of the halftime. First time to get going. Mm-hmm. Any adjustments were made. 9 yard sack. Now, I don't have the film in front of me. I don't remember the play off the top of my head, except he got sacked. Did
right.
he hold it too long? Did the protection break down?
I don't remember.
I'm
going to,
yes.
It's bad field position to start with also. So now you're inside your 10-yard line.
And there you go. So what do you do on that? You try to run the ball to get out of trouble. You lose 3 yards running. Now mm-hmm. it's third and 20 something. And it's third and 22. It doesn't matter what you do on third and 22 because you're already in the hole.
Yep.
So the offense that needed to hold up their end of the bargain mm-hmm. after the defense held to three and not being down 21-10,
mm-hmm.
that's how it was sack,
yep.
rushing loss because Williams is playing tailback
yep.
because that's how it was and that's what they decided to go with. And it's third and 22. You're not going to try anything stupid there. You just
no, it was a screen pass.
It was. It was dropped anyhow. Yeah. So, yeah. But you want to just do is punt it and flip the field there and get out of trouble. So it's kind of a microcosm on how things have been. When the defense even does – it's third and goal from the three.
Right.
And they
right.
do their job and get off the field. Hornibrook's pass is incomplete.
Well, look, we can pick on everybody.
That's my point.
Yeah.
You're nailing it because when somebody does their job, another part doesn't do their job, and it just goes around in a circle.
They start that drive on their own 17 because
they
don't
17?
Get anything out of the kickoff return. Okay, so you're at your own 17. Then your offense goes backwards into a hole.
So let's start back at the – why are we at the 17? Because your special teams didn't execute.
Well, exactly right.
So that's every – you're right. We're touching
offense,
on everything.
Then the offense goes backwards. They punt it out and get a nice punt, get it out to around midfield, and then the defense just gets shredded right down the field. And this was, you know, this was the 32-yard touchdown,
yes.
Which was, let's be honest, this is ridiculous because he's weaving in and out of players. There's red jerseys all over the place. You know, he stiff-armed the All-American with three fingers. That's not good enough.
Let me take it.
And at a point where you still do have a one-score game, there's another shot for the defense to go ahead and keep you there.
I'm not going to make excuses.
Backed up against the hole. It's a short field, no question about it. Your special teams didn't do much. Your offense went backwards, and then your defense can't continue to hold it.
Your defense, the first drive of the second half, 5 minutes and 56 seconds on the field. I can't remember how many plays it was.
11 plays, 72 yards.
5:56.
Uh-huh.
Three and out, right back on.
Yep.
Not the easiest turnaround.
Football.
That is football. It is. But you know what it is?
It's
the special teams didn't help on the return, mm-hmm. and the offense didn't
it's
take
all three units.
Five, exactly.
They all help.
But I think that's what it is. It's all interconnected through it.
Yeah.
And when one lets one down,
mm-hmm.
sets them in a hole, then they set a deeper hole, and then you're expecting a 65-yard punt down to the 30 to get out of trouble? That's not how it works.
The problem you have with it is that going into the season, you knew you were young on offense. Your defense was full of seniors that you were going to count on. You didn't know what was going to happen on the special teams. And that to me, is a little frightening because after the Maryland game where the defense didn't get stops, then that quickly, 1-3 and out, and now all of a sudden the defense is a sieve.
Right back on the field.
I'm not talking about right back on the field. That quickly, with a chance still at one touchdown to make a big hold at midfield and get the ball back, go right through them like – you know what, through a goose.
Absolutely.
That, you know, because it's not all the defense, not by any stretch. The offense isn't good enough against this level of team, okay? Again, against the last three teams, it can be fine.
I was going to
but against that level of team,
your margin
it's not
for
good
error
enough.
Against this team is shrinking by the minute.
The defense looked like their heart was broken when they went on the field at that point. And it's halfway through the third quarter in a 7-point game. And they could very easily be the hero there and get a takeaway at midfield to get you the ball back, to get you in good position. There are things that could have happened in that regards. It's not all on the defense.
No.
But again, that's the unit that gets everything that we know is the senior-laden group. They are the veterans. They are the better unit right now. There's no question watching this team who that is. But at times now, this unit is not making some stops and getting some takeaways
and
like it did last year, and that's a problem for this team right now.
And here's where the frustration starts. The next drive, Indiana has, they score a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
They score a touchdown after the first play of their drive is a 15-yard chop block, which was the worst call in the history of the world. Did you see the replay on
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I saw that.
Martin falls down.
Yeah.
Little John puts his hand on his shoulder pad.
The center literally immediately took his hand off him, and he wasn't hitting him with both
hands.
He
was going the other
direction.
Because
he knew the guy was getting blocked low.
And they still called it.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying you're getting robbed by their officials. I'm just saying the umpire assumed it was going to be a chop block, and he didn't have the guts to pick up his flag. But it didn't matter. First and 25, you find two big plays, and you go right down the field, and you go right down the field, and you score. But it's just that, is it one drive too late? No, it's 24-17. Well, you've asked the offense to do something. After going three and out, they do something.
Right.
So here you are in a 24-17 mm-hmm. game, and you're right back in it. Even though it hasn't been going your way, even though the performance you're talking about is not going into the Hall of Fame when this game is over, this team has still found a way to get back into it and make it a one-score game again. And that's what frustrates Indiana fans, because they see that, then assume the next step should be taken. And they forget that's still Wisconsin over there.
Yeah.
And that's still a really tough out to get out after. And the Hoosier defense goes back out, and what do? They get into a big spot. A drive starts, fourth quarter ends. You're down a touchdown going into the fourth quarter.
They stand up, and you get no points out of it. You get a punt from deep in Indiana territory.
From the 40.
So they did manage to flip the field. Indiana got the ball back afterwards at their own 10-yard line. So they make the stop. They allow some yardage to flip the field, but they get the stop out of it, which is exactly what you want. It wasn't a great drive for the defense, but it was the result you want.
And results at this point against Wisconsin, we've talked about the margin for error. We've talked about what they really do well. Well, you know, why they didn't hand it off to Taylor every drive three times in a row.
Hey, they had plenty of good backs.
They did.
That wasn't their problem.
In all of those guys.
Yeah.
And
then there's the interception. And again, this is the ineptitude of the offense at this point, because you started your way out of your own territory. You go backwards because of a hold. then you miss a block completely. I mean, go back and watch the tape on this. I'm telling you, the hole was a beautiful hole for a running back to run through. Instead, it was a defensive end running through it on a twist stunt.
Yeah, because guys went to...
completely unblocked, up right up the middle. And that's the worst place you can pressure a quarterback as far as your offense is concerned, is right up the middle. Because now he's got to make a fast decision with something flashing right in his face.
And it was...
And going to hit him in the ribs really hard, by the way.
Really hard. And it sounded like today Mike DeBoard said that route was not run correctly. That was part of the
issue.
That's
part of it, too.
Well, the point is everybody has to do their job. The line has to do their job. The receiver has to do their job. And when you play really good teams, the margin of error shrinks, and it shrinks, and it shrinks, and it shrinks. So that's why you come up short. You throw interceptions on back-to-back plays. Plays aren't made. Guess who makes plays? Joe Ferguson.
Yeah.
Two interceptions and two drives. Those are pretty good catches, too. So let's give that guy a little bit of credit as well.
And the Hoosiers lose against Wisconsin, hardly surprising. But now their margin of error, and the margin of error is because of Maryland, the Maryland game. Their margin of error is gone. Got to win the last three to go bowling. They won the last two years ago to do that, both of them on the road. They've got to do two of these three on the road. Not an easy road to hoe. Starts this Saturday at Illinois. Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Some programming notes for you. We're with you until 7:45 tonight when Monday Night Football will take over. That's when pregame starts, leading you up to kickoff around 8:30 for Detroit at Green Bay. Looking later in the week, the NFL football picks back up on Thursday as Seattle heads to Arizona. That's an 8 o'clock start here on WGCL Thursday. And then on Friday, we've got high school football. It keeps rolling, as do the South Panthers, but this is a big, tough one on Friday night as Cathedral comes to town. Chalk Talk is 6:30 and kickoff at 7 o'clock for the regional championship for the South Panthers on WGCL. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. We're going to have a break here in a moment, but we'll be back after it, so don't go anywhere. But talk a little IU basketball as they had their second exhibition, preseason, whatever exactly you want to call it.
I think any of that would define.
Indianapolis is a good Division II team, so a step
nice
up in competition, but not up to the power level just yet. But a little different result, or a little different way of getting to that result, as the Hoosier offense, it looked choppy at a lot of times. But I think you come out of this, and Hoosier fans are happy because they're talking about the defense in this game.
It is, and the turnovers or lack thereof. Those are things that really helped. But the one thing that sticks off the page, and I've had my doubts on this for a couple of years now, is there's not a lot of pure shooting on that basketball team. The Archie Miller comments after the game were brilliant. We're a team that likes to shoot quickly, and I don't like that.
Yeah.
And that's a truest point guard term ever said.
Most IU fans haven't liked that for a while.
When we get going fast, it's usually our guards. Mm-hmm. When we're usually getting turnovers, it's our guards getting into some situations. So we still have some habits that need to be eradicated. And I don't think you can expect those to be gone in a month or two.
No.
It's hard to change stripes of tigers and all of those wonderful cliches that go along with it. But the fact of the matter is, it's not 22 turnovers and being blamed on, hey, we just play fast.
Right.
That's not happening.
Right.
There is a conscious effort to make better decisions, better passes.
And what's interesting,
but there's not a conscious effort to maybe slow down the shot selection, and that's what's bothering coach right now.
What's interesting, though, is watching these couple games.
Watching Archie's facial expressions after some of those shots was really interesting.
Well, watching these couple games, though, it does not look as though, Indiana is playing confined or constricted on offense as a way to eliminate turnovers. They're just not doing the ridiculously stupid stuff that resulted in some of the turnovers they got. Now they're still having turnovers. Everybody has turnovers.
They don't,
but they don't have 18 of them because they aren't doing silly crap.
They don't dribble down dark alleys anymore.
Yeah.
They're not dribbling underneath the basket, jumping up in the air, looking to pass somewhere. That looks like it's been eradicated from.
I saw one or two, but you're right, not as often.
Not seven, eight, nine,
not frequently.
10. That seemed to be a thing to do.
Not being told to do it.
Well, or that was part of the design of the offense, where if you penetrate, I think you still have to go through the lane. I think you have to do that. I think the ball movement. What he said, Coach Miller said after the game, makes perfect sense. You can, the look we want quickly in the shot clock is the guy in his spot open.
Right, right.
Not
any
one,
guy open from
no,
anywhere.
That's not what they're trying to do because they want to get their bigs involved. They want to get the ball moved. They want to make the other team's defense work. We just talked about a football game where the offense for one team made the other team's defense work 12 minutes to 3 minutes in the third quarter.
Yeah.
Well, what happened? They had the advantage.
Yeah.
And that's exactly right. Now basketball is a little bit different with that, but I think the mantra remains the same. If you don't make teams work, then they don't get run down where maybe you could take advantage of them at some point later in the game.
Yep.
And if you chuck it and chase it, and you don't chase it, and his point was excellent. A lot of the stuff we get away with in these last two games, we're not going to get away with when the competition increases. So he's not here painting a picture of how great it is, and it's perfect, and this is going to be fine and dandy. When you shoot 7 of 20 from three-point land, Colin Hartman's 3 for 3, do the math otherwise, it shows you that might be a part of it where it's going to struggle just a little bit. So
18 turnovers in two games. We'll talk about this after the break. But as you mentioned, it sounds like Archie is counting bad shots
in his mind as
turnovers.
And I've told you that for years.
So the question is, are we being fooled in two games about the turnover thing so far, or are we cutting it down
just
piece by piece?
Because sometimes bad shots go in. Don't forget that. Turnovers always go out of bounds. Bad shots can go in. There's something to be said about that. But it does make sense. And I've said that before, just because – and same thing. When a guy misses a basket, it shouldn't be an assist problem, too.
So you just got to call bank. We've got to take a quick break.
Something.
We'll be back after the break. Don't go anywhere. 812-333-2665. You are in the red zone here with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. We're with you until 7:45, where we turn it over to Monday Night Football's pregame, leading you up to the kickoff for Detroit at Green Bay. So with you for a little while longer, don't go anywhere, and we'll have you with NFL football. But we're talking IU basketball right now, 74-53. They were victorious over Indianapolis. We've seen the turnovers go down for this team. The shooting percentage is, it's only two games. It's exhibition. It's been a little all over the place. We've seen different people leading the team. Devontae Green was fantastic in the first game, scoring in particular. He only had 5 points in this game on 6 shots. Robert Johnson, though, by far the leading scorer, but the guy who stands out, I think, the most, just for the simple fact that he only played 13 minutes and did what he did, was Freddie McSwain, 12 points. 9 rebounds in this game, an assist, a turnover. I don't want to make too much out of Freddie McSwain at this moment, but, you know, you look at this roster and you got to find a big guy behind Deron Davis. I mean, that's the glaring thing that's missing from this team. And so
how
who
tall
is
they
this?
List Freddie McSwain?
I know, but you know, Colin Hartman played center at 6'5", you know, in some fashion. You got to have bodies behind him. And you know, Juwan Morgan is the next tallest guy, and Tim Priller's at the end of the bench somewhere. But, I mean, somebody's going to have to go in there and get you a few rebounds and a few points, and that's about as efficient as you can get in 13 minutes, 12
points,
and 9 rebounds.
And he probably missed 3 from 6 feet and closer as well. I mean, it wasn't like his 3 misses were 20-footers trying to go in. So he was active, and I think that's what Archie Miller talked about, that he said, hey, look, bringing that energy in a 13-minute spell, giving you something, that's worth something. We heard that right before we went on the air from earlier, and that's a great – you always ask me, what do you do to get on the floor? And he gave you a tutorial on what to do.
Yeah.
Well, I'm undersized, coach. What do you want me to do? I want to play over. Well, here's where we can play it. What can you do for us?
Right.
And what's he do? Well, he goes in there and he gets after it. And sure, you want to talk about the competition? Yeah, you can talk about the competition. That's absolutely fine. But what we do know is there are guys that had chances to get out there and get after it. McSwain took his chance. Does it mean anything? No. I saw Bobby Capo Bianco have one of the greatest haunted hall of hoops scrimmages in the history of basketball. Did it mean anything?
I mean,
no, it didn't
Pritchard
mean anything.
Tom Pritchard was All-American before the
conference
Tom Pritchard season had 10, his
freshman
year.
Well, no, that's not true. I believe he had 9 straight double-doubles to start his freshman career. So
that's what I'm saying, before the conference season.
But those were at least in real games.
Yes,
we'll give you some credit. We'll give you some credit where some credit's due on that. But you're going to need more people. Why? Juwan Morgan gave you the example why. He had three fouls, and he only played 19 minutes.
Yeah.
So that's the issue. He gets two fouls in the first half. He has to come out. He gets a third one immediately. And these things happen. Guys have to find a way to play themselves into the lineup. It's neat to see a guy take chances. We saw how good Devontae Green was against who did we play? Marion College.
Marion, yeah.
And Devontae Green, I believe, hit his first shot on Sunday, yesterday afternoon, after the tornado delay, and then went 1 for 5 the rest of the night.
Yep.
Well, he didn't get 23 points. He didn't have 7 rebounds, and he didn't have 6 assists. Well, that happens. That happens. Okay? Guys that get 23, 6, and 7 every night.
Yeah.
You're not wondering why they don't do it the next night. And that's not a knock on Devontae. Devontae is finding his way just fine. And what did Robert Johnson do? Well, he finally found a way to knock down a basket. It took him a few to finally get that first three-pointer to go. But he was 7 of 15 from the field. I think Indiana fans, Dave, will take that every single night.
No question.
Being 7 of 15. Josh Newkirk a little streaky. Johnson's a little streaky. Green's a little streaky.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one issue that jumps off the page. You just don't see that true shooter. You want to point out that Hartman was 3 for 3? Minutes restriction? Yeah, he knocked down 3 good looks. The ball coming off his hand probably looks the best of anybody on the court, and it's not even close right now. So you've got to find some guys that can get the ball in the basket. Al Durham came off his injury, had a minutes restriction as well. He struggled to shoot it, but Archie said after the game he's a guy that in practice can knock him down.
Okay.
Yeah, that's because we don't see practice. We believe Coach, and we'll see what happens when the lights go on. Deron Davis and Freddie McSwain combined to go 8 for 13. They combined for how many rebounds? More than I can count to. That's the
16.
Good news. 16 of it and 23 points.
Yep.
That's a pretty solid front court to have there. But the issues that plagued this team that Coach Miller talked about right in the pregame was we have to get our bigs involved. We worked on it all week leading up to this game, and we didn't get our bigs involved, and that bothers me to a degree.
Question that I have, 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Question that I have is what we heard right before the show tonight on the Joe Smith Sports report that you did. Was Archie talking about something that we heard all off season, and that was the great shape that Deron Davis was getting in.
Yep.
But he's not yet in game shape. So why did we hear about it all summer?
Because he's
if he's
shape.
Not there yet, or are we?
That's a good
is
question.
The bar too high right
no,
now? Because
no.
Deron has not stood out as having huge problems in the first two games.
No.
He's not going up against a lot of bigs that are his size that are going to cause him any of those problems. But I'm still hearing Archie talking about his conditioning.
There's two different shapes. There is lose 22 pounds.
There is pear shape.
Well, that's maybe what that was beforehand. He lost 22 pounds, gained 8 inches on his vertical.
Mm-hmm.
That's in shape, as in diet's good,
right.
Cardio's good. You're at a body fat, what do they call it, BMI.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you need to be.
Yeah.
Maybe you're throwing up some more reps in the weight room than you did last year. And then, as Archie mentioned, there's game shape. Guess what they don't do in practice?
Yeah.
Scrimmage constantly. Where you're running up and down the court, where you're start and stop, and you stop and have a teaching moment. Then maybe you get a couple, but stop,
mm-hmm.
run it again, stop, run it again. Those things. So you're not playing in that game speed. He hasn't brought this new conditioning, physique, BMI, whatever, to playing in the game. And one part of that interview I didn't leave in there was he was gassed a couple times up and down the court when the 6'8 guy from Indy was getting some position on him, and he wants to see him get to that next level where he plays through that. He didn't have to play through that last year. They could just simply take him out, put Thomas Bryant back in,
right,
put Juwan
right.
Morgan back in. Put
They don't have that now.
Well, they don't have that now. That's exactly right. So
he did have 5 blocks, by the way.
He did, and that was a two or three were really good. The others was he was just bigger than everybody else,
right.
Which is fine. But you know what he didn't have? A lot of fouls.
A lot of fouls,
and
exactly.
We talked about that last year, and we talked about mm-hmm. him being lighter, him being in better position.
Better position, right.
Because he's not late to the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you get? You get 5 blocks. Well, that's a great start. And I understand the post players on UIndy, but before the game, they talked about, hey, this team actually has a little bit of size where maybe we didn't see that size against Marion. Is it something? Yes, it's always something. You can always learn from it. But when Deron Davis only gets 6 field goal attempts in 24 minutes, that's why Archie Miller was frustrated, because that's not what they were working on in practice. We asked about the question last week, and you asked me about dress rehearsal, what we were going to do. And he said he really didn't have a plan on Friday, but when he looked at it, he started the same guys, kind of rotated
exactly.
the same guys. So
yeah.
What they say in coach speak and what they tell you, you can see with your own eyes in that. But the first
right.
5 they rolled out there, not surprising at all, and guys coming off the bench, again, not surprising at all. Hartman getting some minutes, I think, was very positive. Al Durham, they want to see what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
Hamstrings are tough, and he's already tweaked it twice. That's one of those. But again, didn't seem to have any problems last night. Couldn't find a jumper. First night in the building.
Didn't have any problems putting it up.
First night in the building with the lights on. Well, that goes back to what Coach was talking about saying we're not taking the best shots. Mm-hmm. We shoot too quickly. Get excited because you're open. AAU, you're open. What do you do? Yeah. High school team, you're open. What do you do? Well, I'm going to college, folks. Get out of the way. I'll go chase it down and jump over everybody and get my own rebound as well. So at this level, you have to be a little bit more patient, I think is the right word, and you have to be aware of down and distance, time and score. You've got to know. If we're working on this all week, I'd rather have Coach yell at me to shoot it than to, hey, can you quit shooting it? So they gave him some leisure. They gave everybody some leisure, which was fine. And you sometimes have to play through these things because we always want to say, let's put him on the bench to teach him a lesson.
Right.
But not every
That's
kid.
Too fast.
But well, not every kid reacts the same way to that.
Exactly.
Some kids do. Some guy goes to the bench, gets fired up. Next time you bring him back in the game and plays great.
If you're telling me Deron Davis needs to work his way into game shape, you're telling me most of the team needs to work their way into game shape, which you're telling me is they need a lot to work on that can only be worked on during the game anyways.
Makes sense.
So benching him doesn't really do that much there unless you're just being a complete idiot.
And the situational stuff they do as well, it doesn't matter what you do in practice. You have to execute it when you have to execute it during the game. And that's why you always get nervy when you hear coaches. What coach comes out and says, unless they've been Jim Boeheim or Krzyzewski for 100 years, they say, we have practiced terribly all week this week. Every coach says, we're working on these things. We're doing this.
So looking
forward out,
already,
get it going.
You've won your two exhibitions, which you should.
Yep.
You've got Indiana State coming this Friday. Life comes at you fast. You got to go to Seton Hall in 9 days.
Good.
Indiana State beat Marion by 20 points.
Transitive property.
No, I'm going to leave it open. What do we make of Indiana State in this game? You know, it's an in-state game. Everybody wants these in-state games, but they've beaten us on a couple chances.
It's a bowl game for them.
Yeah, exactly right. And while the Hoosiers have not given you reason to think they're going to blow it, they also clearly have enough questions right now, and Archie clearly has enough questions about them right now, that you get up against a team with a chip on its shoulder and shoves you around a little bit, I'm not sure how they're going to react right now.
Shove them back. I hope with senior guards that's not an issue, and senior guards really that you can't ask any coach. This is not some kind of made-up blogger forum discussion.
Right.
Why do coaches want senior guards? Well, because senior guards have been in road environments. Mm-hmm. Senior guards have played in Hawaii. Senior guards have played in the Iz Zone in the Nerd Center up at West Lafayette or whatever they call these places. They've been through it. They understand to convey the message to those around them that, hey, when I was a freshman here and we played these guys, or whatever the story goes, they're going to get after you.
What's worse? Going into
the nerd zone
with all those people yelling at you,
or
a 8-point deficit with 5 minutes left to go on your own home court, and the place is like a morgue, and they're booing you.
I was getting to that. I don't think they're going to boo you because
been the last couple of years.
That
there's been murmuring. There's been booing.
Maybe part of that.
It's
solved,
there.
Maybe part of that problem has been alleviated.
Maybe.
The point of the matter is, if you're an Indiana fan, you have to ask yourself this question: are you worried about results? Are you worried about champagne football? Are you worried about what? What is your concern? If Indiana beats Indiana State 59-58,
right,
that's fine by me.
Well, you want to win them. I mean, you want the victory.
If Indiana hits 15,
you certainly don't want to lose.
If Indiana hits 15 out of 23s and wins by 30 because they had a great shooting night, does that mean they're here?
It's better.
Or
yeah, that's a good question.
I don't think so.
It does not look like a great shooting team where that would be the harbinger for we're going to hit 15 threes every night.
And then
that's fair. Then
another expectation goes kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at it as, from what I've seen in a game, and I watched barely any of the Marion game. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I watched the whole thing. I saw some highlight packages, and that's about it. Heard what Eric and Don had to say, Eric had to say. Don wasn't even there. Eric Soar talked about it as well. But I think the issue is, win the basketball game and then worry about getting better. if you lose the basketball game, then it brings in all that other stuff you're talking about. Exactly. Then it gets noisy.
Yeah, right.
And you don't need noisy right now. You've got enough things to work on.
I mean, again, it's only 9 days until you go to Seton Hall. That's not an easy trip for an unsettled team.
And I don't think anything – and I don't know how unsettled they are.
It's so early, you know.
Yes, and I think if you had all your pieces healthy and ready to go, does that ever happen anymore? I don't know. Mm-hmm. You'd love to have Colin Hartman on a 9 minutes restriction, but Colin Hartman's going to help you more in the Big Ten season than he might – right now. So you can't rush that back to do
and
that.
You don't need to.
So I think you need to see it a little bit longer term than what happens right now. Do you need to beat Indiana State? I've been of the belief since you've known me that Indiana basketball should win every game they participate in.
Well,
that's why
they should win. Sure.
They should have a chance to win every game they're in because of the talent level they have, the facilities, the recruiting base, the fan, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't think that changes regardless of who the brand new coach is. This is not a situation Tom Crean walked into where the cabinet was bare for whatever reasons it was, and you had scholarship restrictions and this and that and everything else. You have senior guards, and senior guards work for a couple reasons. They know to get to the foul line. They know how to get fouled.
Right.
They know they should know in tight situations which passes and decisions to make and not to make, and that's a huge advantage. If Indiana State, and I haven't looked at their roster yet, is running out sophomore and a sophomore, sophomore freshman, junior sophomore, Indiana should have an advantage in the decision-making department of that.
Right.
And you hope that translates, and you hope it, if it gets tight, you don't take the first shot you see. You hope you bang it inside because you've got an advantage. You hope you get out in transition, do whatever it is. And I think that's the interesting point. The interesting point in your scenario would also be, how does this team react to the situation?
Yeah.
And with senior guards, I go right back to that.
They better react well.
Senior
forward. That's everything everybody wants.
Senior forward and Colin Hartman, if you're going to play him in a couple minutes, well, those are the minutes you're going to play him in,
right?
I would think. And those guys should be able to hold their nerve, and the other guys around him should feel comfortable knowing, man, I don't have anything. I can throw it to Hartman, Johnson, or Newkirk, and we're good.
Mm-hmm.
Jawan Morgan's a junior. Let's not dismiss that.
Yeah.
When he's been healthy, which has been up and down, he's played some significant minutes against some significant opponents as well throughout time. So you have that option. Why is Indiana State going to beat this team? I think that's the different way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And without digging deep into what they do, Robert Johnson, Josh Newkirk aren't the easiest guys to break down off the dribble.
Mm-hmm.
Devontae Green's not the easiest guy to keep out of the paint. Deron Davis isn't an easy guy to bully and push around. If he gets in foul trouble, that's different.
Yeah.
There's talent there, is my point.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to go through the entire lineup, but they've got Curtis Jones can hit 5 threes in a row. We've seen it happen.
Right.
So that's why they should win. That's why they should be in a lot of games.
Well, they should be more talented than this team. They certainly are veterans.
Exactly right.
You know, they're not
Purdue beat
experience.
Them by, what, 20-something, scored 92?
So.
We looked it up the other day, 92-74, somewhere in
something
that range.
Like that.
So this is not a lockdown Indiana State team by any means either. So we'll do more on that on Wednesday, obviously. But what's exciting about this team is I think is going to be the growth. I think people are already talking about, hey, look, they're not turning it over as much.
Mm-hmm.
And something as simple as that makes basketball pleasurable to watch.
Right.
You're not watching there's another one off. Oh, but that pass was so close, and it just goes, and it keeps going out of bounds. There's some style and some panache to have that good basketball provides that doesn't have to be almosts.
Yeah.
That was an almost alley-oop. That was an almost 26-footer. That was an almost great pass.
Right.
So some of the aesthetics move around
like
with that.
The best Victor Oladipo dunk of all time.
Great.
The one
and you know
bonked.
What? All those guys can go on fast breaks and dunk, and that's the thing. But you know what? How about getting back so the other team doesn't get fast breaks?
Right.
How about getting rebounds?
They'll keep up the defense.
How
keep
about
not turning the ball over.
All the way back and getting rebounds.
Yeah.
You it's run still, through a brick wall.
It's Indiana State, but it's still a step up, yet another step up here. It should not out-talent you by any
fun.
Stretch. You should win the game on Friday night. We'll talk more about that
because
we play Howard also on Sunday, too. That's the other flip around. But, again, it's only 9 days to go into Seton Hall, folks.
It is. And the Howard game will be a little bit tougher in the sense it's a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
And you get a little bit of that. But I think Howard is ranked 350 out of 360.
They're
going to struggle this year. So that's part of the deal. What's exciting for this team is they look like they know what they're doing. They just haven't figured out how to do it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool in the sense you see that something is moving in the right direction here. This is not a, whoa, man, this system's totally new. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how this works. You know what you do? Freddie McSwain just showed you. Play hard.
Yeah.
Good things happen to guys that play hard.
Hey, I said the other day, I'm still a little surprised you don't see a significant change in the offensive structure.
Can't yet. Got to get the defense in first.
Yeah.
Said that.
But yeah. They're taking care of the ball better, and that's a good step in the right direction. Got to take a quick break.
53 points isn't bad either.
812-333-2665 is a phone number. David Glass with you in the zone. Back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Some quick programming notes for you. We've got Monday Night Football coming up in just a little while here. 7:45 is when we turn it over to the pregame. Kickoff is around 8:30. Detroit is at Green Bay tonight. On Thursday, we pick the NFL back up with Seattle going to Arizona. That's an 8 o'clock pregame, actually, 8 o'clock. Kickoff at 8:30 on Thursday night also. And then Friday night, we still have high school football going along as the South Panthers keep winning. They've got a sectional championship after this past weekend, and now they get to host Cathedral. 7 o'clock is kickoff. 6:30 is Chalk Talk for that. If they were to beat Cathedral, the more likely opponent would be Columbus East. And I just looked, they would host Columbus East in a semi-state.
Columbus East has to take on
Terre Haute North.
Terre Haute North, which Columbus East will win that game. You can write that down. Here's ink pen. Go ahead and write this down in the ink pen. And, boy, that would be something. But never
big
with Cathedral. You can't put it. People say, well, Cathedral's 5-5. Well, how many games have they played in the state of Indiana?
No, two until the playoffs. Yeah, they played somehow they got Jeffersonville
they're
on
like,
their schedule.
They're like,
I don't figure that one
well,
out.
I guess that wouldn't be a fair analogy because I don't know if the academics of Finley Prep would be in there.
They're really, really, really talented.
They have,
they're really good, and they play some really difficult football teams in the area.
They have a recruiting coordinator and, some of that stuff that goes all along with it.
St. Ed's, Pickerington, St. X's, and two different towns. I mean,
Louisville, St. X, Cincinnati, St. X, you get all the St. X's.
This is daunting for the Panthers, but they've been playing their best ball, the best time to do it. It's right now.
Funny how football works out sometimes. You still have to play the game. How many
times?
Well, they don't call them upsets because the winning team wins or the team is supposed to win all the time. 40 in sunshine on Friday, 27 on Friday night. You'll need to bundle up for that one. But our favorite number right now in the forecast, 0.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be – you'll be cold,
yeah,
but you clap your hands and do all that. You stay warm, but it's not going to be rainy. That's the good point you have to worry about there. What a performance on Friday night. Jake Johnson, huge night. Chris Bamba, just wonderful pitch and catch football. Maverick Terry runs for 130 and change through the tackles. Quantrell Porter, fourth pick six of the year.
Yeah.
9 interceptions, almost half of them are pick sixes.
Watch it happen in front of you.
Yeah, and it's in slow motion. Yeah. Well, that's how the ball came across the field
in slow motion.
So why they keep picking on him is interesting, and I guess maybe Dave and I are the only ones that read Max Preps' stats.
So. I guess so. I don't
know
if they're
not
paying attention.
But it was four sectional championships in a row, a great – and Mo said after the game, probably the sweetest one with all the ups and downs and roller coaster rides of this season. The since the reconnoiteration of how the sectionals are run, no South team has ever won four in a row. So that's that goes into a piece of history. Before the season started, 11-1, 11-1, 11-1. You think, well, it's a senior. This team surely will be 11-1 and winning a sectional. They did it a little differently.
Well,
but the result was still
they had four all-staters to start the season, and their quarterback got hurt in the last regular season game of the year. Their running back got hurt in the first game of the year and has never been the same, and now he's off the team.
Punter.
Their punter and wide receiver started the first three games off, being injured, and he was not on the team, and now he's finally rounding into form. He's the only one left because the All-State guard got hurt in week five also. So it has been a roller coaster ride. Not only did they find out their running back was not going to be on the field for them Friday night or going forward, but they also got stuck in traffic.
They did.
We had
That's
a
why
half
we were
hour delay getting up there.
30
ridiculous. But
30 seconds.
They've gone through everything this year.
30
really
minutes.
Have.
Yeah, and that's been sometimes adversity can forge you, make you be a little stronger. So congratulations to the South Panthers. 6:30 Chalk Talk. Dave and Coach Mo, John Callahan. And Dave will have the call for you at 7 o'clock on Friday. We got a busy show Wednesday night.
Yes, we do.
The 50th anniversary celebration of the Rose Bowl team, the 1967 story of the Indiana Hoosiers, will be at C3 in Renwick from 6 to 8. 2-hour program. You have to do that.
Yes.
Mark Deal's going to help us out with it. He's helped organize this entire thing because Mark's the director of community or alumni relations.
Yep.
For IU, and all the Bloomington base, for the most part, guys on that team, which is great. There's still that many of them living here
around. Yeah.
Yeah. Jade Butcher and let me get the list out because
Eric Stolberg.
Eric, thank you for your hospitality tomorrow night. C3 in Renwick. Ken Kazmarek just went into the Hall of Fame. We'll hear Ken's story that this weekend. Harold Morrow, E.G. White, Bob Monahan. And Max Skirvin and Bob Hamill help frame the story.
Doug Kruzan.
And Doug Kruzan, the captain. He was a late addition to our roster, but what a great addition that is. And Dave and I will sit back, turn the microphones on, and listen to these guys tell the great stories about a team that really wasn't picked for this.
Not even close.
I don't want to compare it to the South here because it's different.
Right.
This team.
No, they were 2-8 the year before.
Didn't have anything to worry about, and all of a sudden they start winning ball games and finding a way through with kids that maybe shouldn't. Sophomores, that's where I was going with this, with some sophomores that that played up above their grade.
We didn't move to town until 84, but I asked my dad about the team 67 because he was in college around then. He said, well, the year before they went 2-8. Miami of Ohio, which is where my dad went. It was a football power at the time, but it was still in the MAC. They came over here and beat the Hoosiers by 10 points on the Hoosiers' home field.
The year before.
2-8 Hoosiers. Next year, they're in the Rose Bowl and one of the top five teams in America.
That's why this story is powerful.
And all year was just as crazy.
Interesting. I mean,
it was up and it was down and cardiac kids, and every game went late. Play after play after. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun to talk about
it. And a
Wednesday.
Lot of those skill play, I believe – were sophomores.
Yeah, a lot of young kids because the freshmen, they couldn't play.
They couldn't play.
Yep.
So they were the scout team.
That's exactly right. Yep. So
you put a little pixie dust on it. You have to beat Purdue in the last game.
A really good Purdue team.
Some would argue the best ever.
Yeah.
And Leroy Keyes, Mike Phipps, some of the big professional names that jump off the page on that team.
Yeah.
Had to beat them after losing – and wondering what, if anything, would happen, because this is what people don't understand, and this is why I find this fascinating. There wasn't the Copper Bowl or the Blue Bonnet Bowl or the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl or the Weed Eater Poulon Independence Bowl.
It took all the way into the early or even mid-70s until a second Big Ten team was allowed to go to a bowl game. Now, there weren't a lot to begin with.
But
wasn't even allowed.
That's the part of the story that helped. The Hoosiers
that
will tell it on Wednesday through everybody and their help on that. Colts win. Colts win.
Now, speaking of adversity, some of which is self-imposed, self-inflicted.
T.Y. Hilton has a big game. The Colts win.
Yeah.
I think you can go back and trace that. I don't think he's had 150 yards or more in the losses.
No, I think he had 60 in the last three games.
Combined.
Something to that effect. Yeah,
it's five catches.
He had done a disappearing act, and you see why it's so important that they get him involved.
You see why it's T.Y.
And you know you do have to come up with new ways to get him involved and get him the ball. He's also got to be full speed, and he has not been. I mean, he could tell you he has, but he has not been. In this game, you know, he looked different. I don't know why. He's always had great games in
Pride,
Houston. I don't know
money.
What it is. Yeah.
That's the thing of being a
ticked
professional
off of Greg
athlete.
Doyle for writing about him. I have no idea. But you saw why he gets paid the money he makes.
Yes.
Because you've got to give it, at the minimum, you've got to give that effort all the time. Now, the jumping over the guy, hey, that's a great looking
individual piece of performance.
That's a nice highlight and all. I wouldn't expect that all the time.
No.
But you know, the catch, because of speed, it draws people away. It draws people
to. The first touchdown,
there's
exactly
a lot that
right.
happens if he's out there as a threat at all times, even if he's not catching 20 balls a game. But he's got to be going full speed. He's got to be trying to get open.
And at this point,
and they did a better job doing it.
And at this point as well, you just want to give the Colts credit for winning and doing it, because the situation there is not perfect. It's been goofy all year long. You don't think the players have to deal with this as well. People forget that.
Exactly.
People are on board thinking that these players all knew that Luck was done for the year. That's not the case at all. This affects everybody. Where's Vontae Davis?
Yeah. They left home.
Left at home. Why? Yeah.
Coach's decision.
Why? Coach's decision.
Yeah.
Why? Coach's decision. That's how the press conference went.
And there's a lot of that going on. That's the problem. A couple weeks ago, I said that the team quit on the game, and I still believe it based on what I looked at. There was a lot of too many people that quit on that game. They didn't in this game, and that's the difference. Is in the NFL, you have to bring it every week, no matter what's going on.
Yes.
Give Jacoby Brissett credit because he played very well.
Watching.
Well, it's exactly right.
Yeah.
And every week is different, and every week you can win. And here's the other thing.
Brissett
you also
played
see,
okay.
You also see the difference in a true starting NFL quarterback and a not true starting NFL quarterback.
Yes.
Because Houston was lighting it on fire offensively until Deshaun Watson went down in a practice.
Individual talent doesn't matter.
And Tom Savage
was savaged.
Not so much.
He was savage. Colts pass rush, to be fair, got after him. Did a
better,
nice job.
Better.
Right from the go.
Yeah.
Right from the go,
yeah.
They were in the backfield.
Yeah.
But Jacoby Brissett, again, 10-0 first half. Here comes a blitz. Hang on the football.
Right, yes, exactly.
He looked
right.
Like when he got hit, then he threw it.
It's like, ah.
Well, did you notice that?
Yes.
He didn't get hit and the ball went out. He got hit, then his arm went. Like he was trying to make a play out of nothing. Eat the ball. Know your down and distance. Know your time and score.
Right.
Those are plays that has to be made.
Here's the thing. The
drives you nuts.
Too often everybody looks at, hey, the quarterback's got a good arm. He could be an NFL player.
His 80-yard touchdown pass was a 10-yard cross.
The thing that differentiates the true NFL, good NFL quarterbacks from everybody else is their decision-making and the speed of which they do it. It's how quickly they make that decision.
One, two, get rid of it.
And that's why Peyton Manning never got sacked. Yes. Not because his offensive lines were always great.
Self-preservation.
Because he got rid of the ball that quickly because he made the decision that quickly.
And
you're exactly right. Jacoby Brissett is still there are points where it's still, yeah. And guess what? A lot of quarterbacks are like Jacoby Brissett, which is why Aaron Rodgers and Andrew Luck and Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger are special and the rest are not.
But here we are in week 9 and we're still talking about things that's...
He shouldn't be starting quarterback.
Well, I know, but
he is. He shouldn't be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
He has to do that.
They had chances to bring in guys that could have been ahead of him if they, you know, knowing potentially that it's an all-year thing.
And even
weirder, and Bob Kravitz wrote about this, now all of a sudden Jim Irsay's popping back up to people about the 4 inches between the ears of Andrew Luck.
I've heard other rumors that are physiologically his shoulders in some tough shape.
Yeah,
I don't know.
So
nobody knows. That's the point. So you have to play football.
So the owner of the team should not be out talking about it being a mental thing for the quarterback. The quarterback has taken beatings for your team up till now. Now maybe he's done some of it, a little bit of it
at least
you can himself.
Remember too, this is the
he's
same.
Played through it. Which you're supposed to do in football, by
this
the way.
This is the same owner that said he'd be back and wouldn't barely miss any game time. So take it for a grain of salt. Here are the Colts again, 20-6. Can't stand prosperity. Boom, give up a touchdown. 6:15 to go in the fourth quarter. Here come the Titans. Here come the Texans down the field.
Gave right back to them.
Here they come again. And 4th and 7, and you finally make a play and get off the field. So it's never been easy. It hasn't been. It's been the same formula, to be fair.
Yeah.
It's just they hung on this time. Their quarterback gives away 7 more
points.
Get
up early, make a couple points, give up a stupid touchdown the other direction, and then give up another one on defense later, and then
hope
you get the last
Tom
one.
Savage.
That's
the other problem here. So the good news is in football, you won. And you're 1-0 this week. Every coach talks about it. There are 2 games out of first place. Go take that any way you want.
Yep.
Those are facts.
Yeah, and they had 2 different plays in the end zone that could have that
exactly
close
right.
to a touchdown.
Exactly right.
But they, you know, they weathered it. You
quarterback
know?
Play is always quarterback play. Brissett made a great ball, the 45-yard touchdown pass to Hilton.
Yeah.
The other one was a 10-yard crossing route, and T.Y. ran 70
right.
yards. Let's 300 yards passing.
No,
well,
sure.
That's how you count it up, and I'm not gonna argue any of that, but that's kind of how this all works
He was
out.
Better than he has been. He still had the one dumb play.
And you would hope that he has been better than he has to be because there's been too many plays like that too many times. And it's cost his team. And I don't think anybody can argue that. No, I don't think they can. That's the issue.
And the issue for the Colts, and we'll have them on Sunday, is that they invite Pittsburgh to town this coming Sunday. And that will
they
be
were off
difficult.
Their bye week too, right? I don't think I saw the Steelers over the weekend, did I?
I think you are correct.
I don't remember. Usually they get a ton of highlight time.
I've got like 8 guys on a bye on my fantasy football team, and I know Le'Veon Bell is one of them, so
well,
I think you're right.
There you go. So we've got that.
Or they could be playing
out.
The Browns for all we know, which is about the same
Wednesday
thing.
Night, we're not going to preview Indiana State because we're going to be at C3 at Renwick.
That's exactly
so
right.
I'm glad we got plenty of hoops to talk
about. So the Hoosiers will be 2-0 by the end of that, and they'll have beaten Illinois on the road in football.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to you Wednesday, but then we'll talk about all that the following Monday.
Big show, big time. We got plenty to do. That's
so
good.
Again, Wednesday night, 6-8 from C3, talking 1967 Rose Bowl.
That's
IU
open
football
to the public.
Team.
Please come by and say hello.
Everybody
please,
can
please,
come.
Please.
Well, everybody can't fit inside, but you can all come by. No question about that. We will talk to you Wednesday, folks. You've been in the zone.